Let's see your Bibles this morning. Say word. Word. One more time, 10 o'clock, say word. Word. Let's see your pens. Amen. Lesson plan. Amen. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Say amen if you hate the Yankees. I was going to say amen if you love the Yankees, but I'm not a baseball guy, big time baseball guy, but if there's a team that I do like, it's the Yankees, and the team I love to see the Yankees beat, it's the Red Sox. Anybody here from Boston? Yeah. You're welcome here, but I can't stand Boston. No. Anyway, I just love to see the Yankees beat the Red Sox. In the last 2 days, they shut them out 2 days in a row. And I don't really watch a lot of baseball, but I happened to be home just watching a little bit yesterday, and they beat them again. And I was just thinking about the Yankees just always win. And they just have a history of winning. They have, I think, 25 world champions or something ridiculous like that. But imagine if your prayer life was as successful as the Yankees. I mean, imagine if your prayer life was known as a winner. Every time you prayed, and maybe not all the time, but the majority of time, what you asked for, you got, and people just couldn't explain it. Matter of fact, they just got so tired of you being blessed all the time. Well, we're in a series called Bubbles. Everyone say Bubbles. And in this series, we're talking about prayer. We talked about prayer. What will hinder your prayer? We talked about the different types of answers God wants to give you when you pray. It's not always information. Sometimes it's power. Sometimes it's vision. Sometimes it's inspiration, encouragement. Sometimes it's redirecting your life. Then we talked about when God does speak to you, he doesn't always say yes or no. Sometimes he says maybe. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says you're praying the wrong thing. Sometimes he asks you, why are you praying that? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But last week, we started a mini-series in the big series called Bubbles, a mini-series on what it means to pray in Jesus' name. And the Bible said, Jesus said, if you pray in my name, I'll give you whatever you ask. But does he really mean that? In other words, does he mean that if you just say in Jesus' name, that whatever you said before that will happen? That's not what he said. That's not what that means. Last week, we said that praying in Jesus' name meant you have a biblical relationship with him. In other words, I'm praying in his name because me and him, he's my Savior. We also talked about that praying in Jesus' name meant that you believe he's your only access to God. You can't pray in Jesus' name in someone else's name because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. We talked about praying in Jesus' name means that everything you said before you said Jesus' name is up for grabs as long as Jesus wants you to have it. In other words, Jesus, I want this, I want that, I want that, but I pray this in Jesus' name. Therefore, I only want what you want for me. I'm only claiming what has been assigned to me. So I want a house, I want a car, I want a new wife, and because the old one's not working out, and I'm just hypothetical. It's hypothetical. It's hypothetical. Oh, I want a new husband because the old one's not working out. However you want to say it. But you ask for all this stuff, and then you say, in Jesus' name, amen, which means, God, if anything I ask for is not according to your will in my life, I don't want it. So therefore, I don't want it if I ask for the wrong thing. That's also what praying in Jesus' name means. So today we're going to talk about is that it's not good enough to just pray in Jesus' name. You have to live in Jesus' name. That if you really want your prayers to be answered, you have to live it. You can't just say it. You can't do whatever you want in Jesus' name. Some people think they can live however they want and then go to church and everything's fine. That's not in the Bible either. Going to church is just part of it. But you have to walk with Jesus every day. Okay, now in this story we're going to talk about is a guy named Daniel. Everyone say Daniel. Daniel's a prophet. He was kidnapped as a little kid by Nebuchadnezzar to go to Babylon. He was kidnapped from Jerusalem. He was kidnapped when Jerusalem was burned down and conquered by the Babylonian kingdom. And he lived in Babylon all his life. He died. And he lived a slave, if you will. But he ended up being promoted in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and the kingdom of Darius, the Medes and Persians, because he was faithful to God. And here he is in this story, a very old man, 80s, 90 years old. And he's been serving God all his life. And he is going to be faced with probably his biggest challenge. They're going to make a law that praying to the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, is illegal. And if you pray to the God of heaven, you will be thrown in the lion's den. Now, this story is not about what's happening in America, but I need to highlight something as we go through it, because if you think about it, this is exactly what's happening in the United States of America, that the Bible, little pieces of it at a time, are being made illegal. It is slowly becoming a hate book or a book of hate speech. And so I just want you to be aware of that and open your eyes, ask God to show you how our government's doing that and how eventually there are going to be certain things in the Bible that will become illegal to say. It's already true in Canada and other countries that you can't preach certain parts of the Bible. When you go to those countries, they say you can't preach this part of the Bible or you'll be arrested. That's true today in Canada, right to our north. It's going to happen here very soon, if not in process as we speak. I just want you to notice, that's a side note, but that's what you see in Daniel is happening here. It's nothing new under the sun. The devil's doing the same old thing. But in this story, Daniel is going to be challenged, and the basic premise is that he's going to be told, if you pray to any other god except the god of the Medes and Persians, any other god except to Darius, the king, you'll be thrown in the lion's den. Now, the whole thing is praying in Jesus' name. If you want to have your prayers answered by praying in Jesus' name, you must live in Jesus' name. And that's exactly what the kind of brother Daniel was. He lived in Jesus' name. Let's look in chapter 6, verse 6. Verse 5, it says in verse 5, these men worked for Darius the king. Daniel was number one in charge, and these men were under Daniel, but they were jealous of him. It says, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, Daniel was in charge of the whole kingdom. The president, Darius, had three governors, another three governors who oversaw everything. Daniel was preeminent to them. And they were jealous of him and everybody else under them. So they figured, we can't find him. We can't find any dirt on him. He doesn't lie. Doesn't cheat. Doesn't come in late and go to leave work early. He doesn't do sloppy work, so how can we get him? And they said, the only way we can get him is to make his religion illegal. And if we make his religion illegal, we know he won't deny his religion. And once he denies our law, because he's going to favor his religion, that's how we get him. So as our religion, faith, becomes illegal, what are you going to do? That's what's happening. Again, that's a side sermon to this, but it's so relevant. I just want to not point it out. So here's his thing. Look what it says in verse 7. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal decree, to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign it in writing that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the decree. Everyone say, King Darius. In the Medes and Persians, if you sign something into law, it couldn't be changed. Even the king couldn't change it. The only way he can overcome it is to make another law. So he signs it, so they tricked him. They said, King, you are the man. I mean, you are the greatest king, blah, 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 blah. And we should make a law that everybody worship only you. And so why don't we say if anybody prays to anybody else other than you, they should be cast in the lion's den. He goes, yeah, that sounds like a good deal. Make sure everybody lines up and stands in line. And so he did. Unfortunately, Daniel, his right-hand man, prays to another god. Okay? Number one in your notes, just write this down before we read it. You need to make prayer your custom. If you want your prayers to be answered, you need to pray all the time. Now, you want to make prayer your custom, and you want to pray all the time and not only in crisis. Look what it says in verse 6. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And guess what he did? He didn't pray. Everyone say, nah. Everyone say, nah. Okay. Verse 10. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open, say, windows open. And say, toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks to his God, as was his custom since early days. He said, I don't care what your law says. I am not going to disobey God to obey man. Don't disobey God to obey man. When man puts you in a position to choose God over man, you always choose God. You always choose God. So Daniel said, Daniel, they said, Daniel, guess what? There's been a law. Darius signed a law, and you know how the law works because you are the top dog, and if you pray to your God, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den. He said, okay, got it. Dear Lord, God of heaven, those boys are tripping if they think they're going to intimidate me. And I know they're outside the window looking, so make sure that you, you know, they see me and hear me that I'm praying to you and nobody else. He did it three times. Everyone say three times. And the Bible says he did it as was his custom. So here's my question to you. What is your custom of prayer? Do you pray at dinner? Do you pray, do you only pray at dinner, or do you only pray at dinner and then when you come to church and someone prays and you bow your head? Or do you have a custom of prayer? Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray when you're driving? Do you pray when you're walking through your job? Do you pray when you're making hard decisions? What is your custom? When do you go to church? Is it just Christmas and Easter, and today just happened to be an off day because, I don't know, if someone blackmails you to come, you go on a date with you if you went to church? I don't know. What is your custom? Are you a Christmas and Easter Christa person? Because what the Bible says here is that Daniel, when he was a little kid, Daniel chapter 1, he was kidnapped as a little kid. And even when he was a little kid, Nebuchadnezzar, who was king at the time, tried to make him eat the Chaldean food. He said, I don't want to eat your food. I'm going to eat fruits and vegetables like what God told me, and I'm going to eat God's food. And he ended up being 10 times more wiser than Nebuchadnezzar's astrologers. And they put Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on top of all the other that happened when he was a little kid. So he knew from the beginning that if I pray to God, God will always honor me. And by the way, think about it. Everybody around Daniel, his boss was a heathen, and all the people under him hated him, and yet he was promoted above everybody. Why? Because he obeyed God. How many of y'all want a promotion? Let's try it one more time. See y'all saying, yeah, but you ain't raising your hand. How many of y'all want a promotion? Very good, very good. Put your hand down. How many of y'all want a raise? Okay, now watch this. How many of y'all think you really deserve a raise? Well, if you're not getting one, someone must think differently. Let me say this. Remember, praying in Jesus' name. So, Jesus, I want a raise and I want a promotion, but I only want what you want for me. Now, you say, why wouldn't God want me to have a raise? Well, maybe because he wants you to learn to live on what you have now. But that's another story. But here's the point. If you want to be promoted to the highest level you can possibly be promoted, obey God. Obey God. Even if everybody around you don't like you, that was the case. They didn't like him. He still got promoted. Why? Because he obeyed God and God blessed him. And God did through him what he couldn't do, and God did through him what the other people couldn't do. So Darius, recognizing that, said, you are above everybody because something is up with you. Nebuchadnezzar promoted him. Joseph in Genesis got promoted because God was with him. He got promoted in Pharaoh's kingdom. He got promoted in Potiphar's house. He got promoted in the prison. Everywhere he was promoted. Why? Because he obeyed God. So obey God. Don't worry about man. Man cannot do anything against you unless God allows him. You will live every single day you're supposed to live, no matter what man thinks, until God decides it's time for you to go. So if you trust God, God will bless you. So what he did is he trusted God, he got promoted. Okay, as was his custom. So he says, nothing's going to change. And because it's my habit, nothing's going to change. So if you want your prayers to be answered, establish a custom of prayer. Look in your notes. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6:12, it says he went all night and prayed in the mountain. Luke 9:18, it says he was alone praying. Luke 9:28, he prayed and the transfiguration happened. Luke 11:1-2, he prayed and taught how to pray. Luke 18, it says he said always pray. Luke 21, it said he was important to pray. And Luke 22 was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. If Jesus prayed and prayed and prayed, everyone say prayed. Say prayed. Say it three times. If Jesus prayed, certainly we need to pray. How many of y'all have a problem or something you're struggling with right now? You know, a situation, something you want? Pray. Not this kind of prayer. Dear God, please fix it. Bless me. Amen. Spend some time. Go someplace by yourself. Some of you are kinesthetic learners. How many of y'all have to move around when you learn? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay. Pray walking. I pray walking and moving my hands sometimes. I'll be, you know. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh. It's my system. It's my system. And I'll walk around and pray. And sometimes I'll be out in the park behind my house, and I'll be walking around and, you know, praying and moving my hands because I got to move and feel it. And people, you know. Whatever makes it work for you, but spend time with God. Number two in your notes, serve God continually. You want your prayers answered? Serve God. Look at verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 12, they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, these things be true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Verse 13. They answered and said before the king, that Daniel. Everyone say, that Daniel. This is their boss. This is their boss. If he's not direct boss, he's the ultimate boss under Darius. That Daniel, who was one of the captains from Judah. He was a captain from Judah 70 years ago. What are they talking about? They still don't give up respect, but yet God blessed him. Does not show due regard, O king, for the decree you have signed, but makes petition three times a day. That Daniel, that captive from Judah, the brother to was captain 30 in 606 BC. What are you talking about? Luke says, and the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The reason he was displeased with himself, because he was tricked. He liked Daniel. He was like, man, how did I put Daniel in that spot? And look what it says, verse 15. These men approached the king and said, King, O king, that it is true that the law that means it is. Know, O king, that is the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. In other words, king, we got you. So the king gave a command, they brought Daniel to cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. If you serve God continually and God blesses you continually, everybody will know it. It's obvious. A person who's blessed by God, God blesses in public. You pray in private, he blesses you in public. People will know it. And if you are serving God continually, even when people are attacking you, how many of you have someone attacking you right now? Talking behind your back, you're having a fight with them, whatever. Just raise your hand real high. You're having a conflict. Guess what? You want to be blessed? Pray for them. Here's why. At the foundation of our attacks with other people is a disruption in our relationship with God. At the foundation of our attacks against other people is a disruption with our relationship with God. Cain killed his brother because Cain had a conflict with God, not his brother. And if you and God are doing great, the better your relationship with God, the less you're going to attack people because his joy is going to fill your heart. And so what you need to do is those people who you're having conflict with, pray for them. They got an issue with God. See what happens in your heart too. So here's Darius saying, Daniel, I know you serve God because you do it all the time. It's so obvious. And I see God blessing you all the time, and I know your God can handle these lions. How many of you out there know that God can handle your lions? Raise your hand real high. Okay, very good. Now, raise your hand if you doubt sometimes whether he can handle those lions. Very good. Every time you worry, you're saying, God, I don't know if you can do this, or I don't know if you will, according to my liking. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Does God love you, or does he not? He does. How many of y'all have ever touched a lion? Anybody? Has anybody here touched a lion? Yes, very good. Anybody else? Very good. I touched a tiger. They said don't touch the tigers, but I did. There's a little chain link fence, and the tiger came to the chain link fence, and he said, don't put your hands in the fence. That's for little kids, you know, that's for little kids. So I was talking to him, he's like this close, and his head was like, and I was just talking to him, you know, we kind of bonding, and then he turned his head, and I put my finger right through the chain link, because I just need to touch a tiger, you know. I pet a cheetah. You've never been with a lion. You have never been in this situation. Let's keep reading. Verse 17. Then a stone was brought, laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Verse 18, when the king went to his palace, spent all night fasting, and no musicians were brought to him, and also his sleep went from him. Basically, he did not want to be comforted. He didn't want to be bothered, and he couldn't sleep because his heart was disturbed, because he knew that Daniel was an innocent man, because Daniel walked with God. Verse 19, the king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to save you from the lions? How many of you in here would say that your friends refer to you at some point, at least in their heart, as someone who serves God? Some of y'all raise your hand, like, I think. And what I mean by that is that do your friends refer to you as a Christian in a positive sense because of your witness is so supernatural and powerful? And if the answer is no, then you don't have a good witness. If the answer is no, then you don't have a good witness. And if you don't have a good witness, that's not God's fault. What Darius said is that you are a servant of the living God. I know that, and I see it. And your God, whom you serve, I know is so big because I see what he does in your life. See, people may not believe that God put the stars in the heaven, which he did. They may not believe he created the heavens and the earth, all the animals, all the diversity of life that also has a symbiotic or interdependent relationship with each other, the plants, the oxygen, CO2, etc. People may not see all that ingenious design and acknowledge that someone designed it. I don't get that, but people do. Some people think it's random choice. I don't get that, but that's okay. But what they can't deny is when God changes you. That's the biggest miracle. And if you let God do something, what he wants to do in your life, even your enemies will scratch their head. Because they'll go, God, I can't explain that. God is doing something in that person's life. Something's doing something in that person's life. That's the kind of person, when you live that way and you're dependent on Christ at that degree, that your prayers will be answered, because you will be so in tune with God and you are serving him continually, praying as a custom all the time, that you are always in connection with him, saying what he wants, praying what he wants, and stuff will happen. But if you think you're going to live however you want and just say in Jesus' name, he's not that stupid. He's not stupid at all. If I'm not here next week, you know what happened. Let's read the Bible, God's word. Look what it says, number three in your notes. You need to have faith, God answers prayer. If you pray in Jesus' name, you need to believe in Jesus. You can't believe in Jesus or be passionately calling out to him only when there's a crisis. You must believe that he does answer prayer. And number four, you must live an innocent and blameless life. Does that mean perfect? And no, it means innocent and blameless. What does that mean? That when you make a mistake, you go say sorry. We all will make mistakes. And when someone makes a mistake against you and they apologize, you accept it. It doesn't mean being perfect, but it means to strive for perfection and holiness in your life, that you say, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can in your power to obey you. But let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 21. Daniel said, O king, live forever. In other words, I know it wasn't you, and I know you didn't do this intentionally. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Someone say, Jesus! Shut the lion's mouth so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that he should take Daniel out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury was whatever was found in him, because he believed. Now let's read the next verse, because this is hilarious to me. Everyone say hilarious. Now, understand this. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Everyone say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The people who are attacking you, God will get them in his way, his time. That's not your job. Read the next verse. The king gave the command that they brought those men who accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lion's den, and their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. So the lions were standing up like this, chewing them up before they got to the floor. God will deal with them. You pray that God would reveal himself to them. But here's Daniel, 80-something years old, however old he was old. And Daniel's saying, God, why did you put me in the den? Why couldn't you get one of them young brothers who are just yakking all the time? You know, those young Christians, those God believers, they need their faith stretched. He says, Daniel, if I would have put them in the den, they would have drove those lions crazy. The lions would have eaten them just to shut them up. I knew you would be able to handle it. Whatever you're going through today, God has allowed it to happen to you because he knows you can handle it. That's why. And he knows if you trust him, he will turn it into something positive in your life. Key word, trust him. All things work together for good for those who love God. What that means, obey God. All things don't work together for good just because you're a Christian. No, that's not what it says. All things work together for good for those who love God. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you love God. You might have prayed a prayer. Loving God means obey God. So if you obey God, things will work together for good. And when drama comes, which it will, God will either deliver you from the drama or through the drama. I'm watching Shark Week on TV. Anybody watching all the shark shows? Okay. And there's one of them called Shark Therapy, where this woman who's a free diver, she dives with no, she holds her breath. And I didn't see the beginning of the show, but it seemed like she had a fear of sharks. I don't know what the story is, but she needed to go down and get over her fear by confronting it. So she dove this one particular time, no snorkeling, nothing, just in her silver bodysuit and these long fins. And she swam among about 5 sharks, like 15 feet long. They were coming up to her, and she was down there just holding her breath. I would love to do that. Then she came up and she was like, I want to get out, I'm scared. Then she got out, and then later on she went down again with some oxygen because she was down there a long time with tiger sharks that do eat people, to attack people. God may not deliver you where you don't have drama, but what God will do is use that drama to teach you to deal with that drama or teach you to trust him. So don't think that if you get thrown in the lions, then that one, you're not going to have a lion's den, and don't think that the lions won't kill you one day, because you're going to die somehow. That's going to come. But number 4 in your notes, it says, you need to live an innocent and blameless life. In other words, you need to be able to stand before God every single day and say, God, I was obedient, and here's the places I was, and I'm sorry. In other words, God wants to take it to another level. I told you last 2 weeks ago that my wife has got me starting to use facial moisturizers and toners and stuff. The reason being, and really it all started, I saw myself on an interview, my face looked like I had all this, it was like leprosy or something. I had all these marks on my face because I got these sunspots and all this brown stuff, and it's just all jacked up. You can't see it now because I got makeup on, but that's another story. But the reason I have makeup on because of the lights. It's a long story, but you know, it's just not I don't have a secret life or nothing. But So make a long story short, she told me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you can't use hand soap to wash your face. I never heard such a thing. Fellas, does it make a difference? No, just do whatever. I mean, you know, wash your hair with shampoo and your face at the same time. Just get it all, just your whole head. Can I get an amen, fellas?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought up until 2 or 3 weeks ago. So now, you know, my wife, she's got all this stuff, and my daughter, my sister's an electrician, stitching thing. And so you got the cleanser, then you got the toner, then you got to dry your face like this. And then you got the whatever you put on, whatever moisturizer or sunscreen thing, which I never put sunscreen on my face, was another thing I wasn't doing wrong. I wasn't putting anything on my face. So I was just really abusing my face. So I guess I had to take care of it. So my sister the other day, a week ago, says, okay, you don't need to use this. You need to use, the last thing you need to put on is this stuff called Rock. And it'll really deep cleanse. So she said, just put a little bit. I said, what's going to happen? She says, I don't know. But you tell me. I said, what could happen? She said, I want to tell you. I'm like, okay. So I just put a little bit. Nothing happened. I mean, I put it on and I didn't feel anything. So I called back the next day. And she said, your face didn't get red. It didn't itch. And nothing. I said, no. So, okay. She said, put a little more. So I said, what's supposed to happen? She said, well, you're supposed to feel some kind of tingling. I said, I don't feel any tingling. So I've been putting it on more and more. And you know how us fellas are, right? Just put it on and rub it on. And I got the little cotton thing, trying to do the cotton with the toner. And I'm thinking, the harder I rub, the more I can get off, right? So just do it real gently. So now I got this stuff just all over my face. And I'm rubbing it in, trying to, make it. I figure the more I put on, the cleaner I'm going to get. And so I'm feeling nothing. She says, you're not feeling tingling because it's cutting through all these dead layers of skin. And sooner or later, you're going to start to feel the tingling. And yesterday, I felt the tingling for the first time. There are people who walk with God, but God is way out here. He's not here yet. It's peripheral. It's all formality. Come to church, say word, do my 3-4-sentence prayer, and that's it. And God's like, you're not letting me in. I need to get in here. And if you want me to answer your prayer and do some stuff, you have to let me in way in here. You got to walk with me every day. You got to listen to me every little second. And let me really transform your life. Don't just go through the motions of Christianity. We have people in ministry here, and we see their Facebook, and what they're doing on Facebook is contrary to what they said they live. I got all kind of hooches up on my Facebook. Be my friend. All kind of sexy mamas trying to, I don't know what it is that's all about, but, it's like either you live for Jesus all the time or you don't. It's one or the other. You can't do both. And so the point is that if you want your prayers to be answered in Jesus' name, you have to live it. You have to be innocent. You have to say, Lord, I'm gonna give it up today. I'm going to give it up today. So let's all bow our heads and pray real quick. Lord, thank you for your servant Daniel, who served you continually. Thank you that you saved him from the lions. Thank you that you illustrate to us what you teach us, that you not only tell us how to live, but you have your men and women in the Bible who actually do it. Lord, we need to be innocent before you. We need to be honest with you. We have issues. We have burdens. We have doubt, fear, pain. We need to surrender to you. Today, some of you need to say, God, I'm done fighting you. I'm done running from you. I'm going to surrender. Pray this prayer with me. You know who you are. Pray, dear God, I surrender my life to you. I know you love me. I know you know best. I'm sorry for ignoring you, playing a game of hide and seek with you. I surrender my life to you. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Master, my God, my friend. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer for whatever reason, you want to be saved, you want to be encouraged, you need to just realign your life, confess some sin. Whatever reason you pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and acknowledge your surrender to God. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 We see you. God bless you. Stay standing good. God bless you. God bless you.